Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here on this Monday, and we're starting a series that I am extremely excited about, and I'm excited about because of the condition of our times. In the coming week, actually in the coming 2 weeks, Derek is going to be talking to us about hope, and his teaching on this is really one of his trademark teachings, and as his biographer, I know that this comes out of his own experience in life. We think of Derek often as the successful minister, the man who traveled the world speaking, the author, the man with such a fascinating story of faith, but I spent months delving into the dark side of his life before Christ, and I can tell you that perhaps his primary, the primary force working against his soul, we might say the primary enemy of his soul, was hopelessness. He lived as a young man in that era after World War I and before World War II, where people spoke of the lost generation, where there was hopelessness, where the old faith, the old political order, the old values seemed to have failed men and led them into horribly bloody wars. And by the way, those who live in Europe suffered far more deaths and far more devastation than we did here in the States, even though we certainly sacrificed dearly. And so the hopelessness that covered the country fed into the hopelessness of Derek's soul. Derek was a man living without God, a man who was disillusioned. He once wrote a poem in which he talked about having winter in his soul. He was very close to suicide, drank far too much, and gave himself sort of to the dark side of philosophy. And all of this makes what he's teaching about hope to be such a fascinating revelation that has come through a man who might otherwise have lived a very hopeless life, much like many of the lives in our generation. So I'm excited about this truth getting out through this broadcast. Let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about hope.
Hope. By way of introduction to this theme, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, where Paul says this, "But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." So in that verse, Paul presents us with the three great abiding spiritual realities of the Christian faith. Other things may come and go. Other things may be important or significant for a certain period or a certain situation. But the things that abide forever are these three: faith, hope, and love. Now, many Christians have heard much preaching about faith and a good deal about love, but in many cases they've heard comparatively little about hope. I know that was my condition many years ago when I was in desperate need of help from God. I'd heard a lot of messages on faith, I'd heard some preaching on love, but the thing that I needed in that particular situation was hope. And the Holy Spirit had to take me directly to the Scripture, because there was no sermon that I knew of about hope. And there, the Holy Spirit met my need. So, for that reason, I have a particular concern that people understand the importance of hope. And I trust that these messages of mine this week and next week also will help you to grasp what hope is and how important it is and how you may have it. Hope is necessary to maintain both faith and love. I'll show you in various ways in due course that unless we have hope, our faith will leak out and our love will fail. So, hope is not an option. It's something that's essential to the fullness of the Christian life. There's a saying that people often use, where there's life, there's hope. I think there's a good deal of truth in that, but let me say, the opposite is also true. Where there's hope, there's life. And where there is no hope, there is no life. In my opinion, hopelessness is one of the saddest conditions in human experience. I can hardly think of anything sadder than to be hopeless. And yet uncounted millions in our world today are hopeless people. I sit in an airport waiting to catch a plane, or I walk through the streets, or I'm in a restaurant, and I look at the faces of people, and most of them have that blank stare of hopelessness. But thank God, we do not need to be hopeless. I want to read here from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, where Paul presents a picture of God's people, the Christians at Thessalonica, enjoying their full inheritance. They have faith, they have hope, and they have love. Notice he mentions all three as he gives thanks to God for them. This is what he says. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. And why does he give thanks? He goes on, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. You see, the spiritual condition of those Christians in Thessalonica convinced Paul that they were really people chosen by God. And what he saw in them was those three abiding realities: faith, love, and hope. And he uses a characteristic word to describe what's special about each of those realities. He speaks about the work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. Let's just pick out each of those phrases for a moment and meditate on it.
You know, you can hear the echo of Derek's own battles with hopelessness as he describes the condition of mankind, as he describes the millions who are living without hope and who tend towards suicide and damage to their lives. Thank God for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and for the fact that faith and love are both rooted in hope. What a powerful revelation. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Faith. Explore the mystery, promises, and powers of genuine faith as you read the insightful book, Faith to Live By. In it, Derek Prince answers your questions about faith and reveals how to pray effectively, understand spiritual gifts, and truly enjoy an abundant life. In this easy-to-read book, based solidly on the Scriptures, you'll discover what God is saying to you. Order your copy of Faith to Live By now for only $8.95 when you call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Faith to Live By is a hope-filled resource for every Christian who wants to receive the promises of a faith-filled life. Order now. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Great to have you with us. We've just started a series on hope with Derek Prince, teaching powerfully from one of the great lessons of his life. Glad you're joining us for this next segment. And we're going to be joined a little later in the program by Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries, and he'll be giving us an update about what's happening in this vital ministry. So let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us one of the great truths of his life and one of the great truths of the Scriptures about hope.
First of all, faith must be expressed by works or by actions. Faith that doesn't act is dead faith. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 5:5. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Notice, faith working through love. And then in James chapter 2, verse 26, James says the same thing in another way. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So the characteristic expression of faith is works. It's action. It's doing something that's the outcome of our faith and expresses our faith. Faith without works is a dead faith. And then in the same passage, Paul speaks about your labor of love. And that word labor means real hard work. And that is so characteristic of true love. True love does not just sit around and sympathize. True love gets in where the action is, rolls up its sleeves, and does something at the cost of labor, at the cost maybe of weariness and sleeplessness. Love labors. It's not just a passive emotion. It's an active driving force that drives people to sacrificial labor on behalf of others. And then we come to the phrase about hope. Paul says to those Thessalonican Christians, the steadfastness of your hope. So hope produces steadfastness, endurance, perseverance. You can use three words, steadfastness, endurance, perseverance. Without having this, we may easily lose the benefits of the first two, that is, faith and love. How then does hope come? How may we have this kind of hope, which is so blessed and so necessary? The answer is that hope is the direct outcome of the new birth. It's the direct outcome of being born again by the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. And not through just general faith in Jesus Christ, but specific faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice that very significant passage. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So when we believe in the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf and then in his resurrection from the dead by the power of God, we are born again, we have a new birth, we're born into a living hope, not just a dead theology, but a living, vibrating hope. And it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We must clearly understand the ultimate historical basis for all hope, true hope, is the resurrection of Jesus. Without the resurrection of Jesus, life would be hopeless. But the resurrection of Jesus brings us into a living hope. Now this hope must continue complete until the consummation of our salvation. Peter says again in that same first epistle, just a little further on in the same first chapter, in verse 13, therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is saying the process of salvation is not yet complete. It's going to be consummated by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the meanwhile, you have to fix your hope completely on that. In other words, the ultimate focus of all Christian hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his revelation. And as we make our way through this life, we need to obey that injunction of Peter to fix our hope completely on what is coming to us through the return of Jesus in glory. Also, the writer of Hebrews brings out another very important facet of hope in Hebrews 3:6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Notice again, this hope must be maintained until the end. We cannot give up hoping until our hope is fulfilled by the event. And so the writer of Hebrews says, in order to be part of the people of God, we must hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. This kind of hope is not just a passive inner expectation. This is something very strong, very confident, that boasts, not in itself, of course, but in the Lord. And this boasting, this verbal expression of our hope, is part of what God has provided for us. It goes along with hope, and hope in turn goes along, as I've said, with faith and love. So we have to maintain this confident boasting of our hope, this continual assertion of our expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus, firm until the end.
I love that phrase, the steadfastness of hope. What a great truth. It's as though hope puts the steel in us. Hope puts the ability to stand. When the Bible says, having done all, stand, that's only possible if we have hope. In fact, I'm not sure we can really live in this fallen world with any courage and valiance unless we have the hope that Derek is talking about. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
It may be a feeling you just can't shake. Plenty of frustration and irritation, but hardly any lasting satisfaction. What causes this gloom? In his classic teaching, Release from the Curse, Derek Prince explores the possible spiritual reasons why your life may lack the sunshine of God's blessings. In this special audio CD teaching, Derek explains the reality and nature of curses and blessings, presents a wealth of scripture identifying true curses, and expertly explains how to be free of them. For a limited time, we want you to have a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount. Call 800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Thank you for your financial support of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or send your gift securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. Glad you're joining us here on this Monday. With me in the studio today is Dick Leggett, who is the president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, glad to have you with us today.
Good to see you, Stephen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good. You know, this theme of hope that Derek has started us on is really one of the powerful messages in his life. And I imagine you saw that close up, didn't you?
I did. And I saw some of the things that you referred to where Derek shared his struggle with depression and how he had to really battle through that. But, you know, a scripture came to my mind as I was thinking about that, where it talks about the Lord says he'll give you the valley of Achor as the door of hope. Well, Achor means trouble. And Derek was an embodiment of that. He went through that troubled time, but came through it to discover some amazing truths about hope. And he really stepped into it. He was an amazing, upbeat person at the end of his life and all the time that I knew him. So he really had victory over it.
I imagine if he was here, he would say that hope really is a person, in a sense. He used to say that the meaning of life is a person. I imagine once he found Jesus, he found the source of hope. And even though he probably didn't think the world had much more hope in a natural sense, you know, than he did before he was a believer, the fact is that he saw the hope that's in Jesus and therefore the hope that's for mankind.
Right. Unquestionably, that was his approach. The other thing that I really appreciated about him was the idea with hope that it's a helmet that you put on. You know, there was so much action that Derek connected with the whole exercise of stepping into hope. You know, you put this helmet on of salvation. You can actually do it. It's something that you can take action at. And I really think that's an important part.
Well, that's one of the powerful aspects of the scriptures and also, therefore, of Derek's teaching, and that is that many of these things are a choice. You know, a lot of people would say, well, I don't have a lot of hope, as though, you know, you're either born with it or you're not, or it either comes one day or not the next. But the reality is it is a choice, and we can choose to have hope as believers, certainly, if we wish to, based on the scriptures.
Right. I think of so many scriptures where it talks about people. There's one scripture in Isaiah 52 that says, rise up, shake yourself, shake the dust off of yourself and step into that which God has for you. And that's what I'm discovering as I'm talking with people. I'm traveling quite a bit, meeting with people all over the United States, and just running into a tremendous desire with people to step into the next season, the next phase of their lives.
Well, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you today. I mean, is your experience that this show is giving people hope? Is the teaching of Derek Prince a source of hope for people, you know, years after he passed away?
It's amazing. It still carries that ability when people hear it to lift them out of the situation that they're in. Now, of course, they have to make that decision. They have to take that step themselves. But this teaching of Derek's, I think, is one of his most powerful because, first of all, as you said, he lived this. This wasn't something that was theory for him. He actually lived it. But I think because of that, it has the impact upon people of enabling them to step out of depressed situations, troubled situations, into a whole new outlook on life. And I'm just discovering this with people who are those who are just now discovering Derek's teaching. And the amazing thing is that I'm running into people that have been with Derek's ministry for many, many years, and they're feeling the same thing. They're feeling encouraged and strengthened by what he's sharing.
All right, Dick, so this radio show captures people, starts to rally them again, so to speak. Where are you taking them? Where's this whole thing going?
Well, there's so much that's going on, and I'll just share in a general sense, Stephen. I've really felt in my personal study that the year 2007 is a year of hope. It's a year of recovery. It's a year of restoration of many truths that have, in some ways, been lost. And that's a lot of what Derek embodies. That's what he represents. Derek had truths and teachings that much of the body of Christ has yet to hear. So we're in a position with his ministry, by continuing it, to open the door to people who have not heard this kind of teaching and to allow them to step into all that can come as a result of that, revelation and tremendous strength in their personal lives.
You know, I really do believe, as you were sharing with me this morning, that it is a time of restoration of what's been lost. It really is a time of people coming into a reclaiming of what's been taken from them. You know, we have an ungodly passivity in this generation. We have an ungodly, I think it comes from woundedness and from the disillusionment and despair of our generation, but people don't have that sort of young lions who roar after their prey mentality that we see in the scriptures.
Right. Well, I think there's definitely a problem with lethargy and kind of a feeling that, well, if God wants it to be done, he'll do it himself. The truth of the matter is that God is looking for people. In Ezekiel 22, it says, I looked for a man. And I think that's, I looked for a woman. I looked for men and women who would take action. You read in Daniel, it says that in a time when there's tremendous oppression, it says, but the people of God will gain strength and display strength, and they will do exploits. I think that's where God's taking us in 2007.
Well, the scripture I've always loved is, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him.
That's right.
That's the New International Version, which, as we all know, of course, is God's version.
That's the one that Paul used, wasn't it?
I like to believe it. But the point is that, you know, think about that. God's eyes, God's vision, God is looking throughout the earth for people whose hearts are fully committed to him. So he can do what? So he can strengthen them.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, I want to do exactly what you're saying. I want to shake off that lethargy. I want to rouse myself. I want to live passionately in this generation. I mean, what's the point of living, you know, kind of a lethargic, just sort of weak life? What's the point of being on the earth? Let's roar after our prey. We'll make mistakes. We'll make messes. We'll fail. But the victories will be all the more sweet.
You're right. And I just want to say, if there's a person out there, if you're listening right now, and you want to take that step, if you want to make that kind of a decision to move ahead boldly in 2007, well, I would basically confirm that desire in your heart, and I'd say, go for it. This is a year for you to step into all that God has for you.
Well, Dick, it's great having you with us. I'm looking forward to having you here on the show in the coming weeks to really help us understand what's on the heart of Derek Prince Ministries.
Great, Stephen. Always good to be here, and it's great to be able to bring you a report of all God is doing through the ministry.
Well, listen, that's all the time we have. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's practical book, Faith to Live By, for only $8.95 when you call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, for your gift of any amount to Derek Prince Ministries, we'll send you a CD copy of Derek's powerful message, Released from the Curse, as our way of saying thank you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.